Causes for concern and reasons for optimism. Going back to back with the Geno Time podcast right now in the Locked On Celtics podcast. Millie, let's go. Rainy J's back with the vengeance. Back. All the real Celtics fans in attendance. This is the truth like 34. It's like walking in the garden when you hear the roars. Crowd goes crazy, most in-depth coverage on the daily, mainly podcast royalty, the content kings. When you talking about the franchise with 17 rings, focus like Danny at the deadline, global but it got a local feel like the red line, the blue line, the green line, play it in between time. I'ma throw my C's jersey on in the meantime and press play. When the F's done, I can't wait until the next day, trying to stay in tune with the C's, that's the best way. Melly. Hey there, welcome back to the Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you for making this show part of your daily routine, whatever it is that you're doing right now with this podcast playing in your ears, on your car, stereo, on a speaker in the bathroom as you take a shower. Thank you for bringing me along for a little bit. I'm John Corrales. I cover the Celtics for Boston Sports Journal. I host the show Monday through Friday, and I've written a book called The Boston Celtics All-Time All-Stars, a book now available wherever you buy your books. Today, what we did was I hopped on the Geno Time podcast with Tom Westerholm and Nicole Yang, both of the Globe/Boston.com, and we did causes for concern and reasons for optimism. And since they on the Geno Time podcast have tended to skew negative, we kind of leaned into it and said that's the causes for concern podcast, and those were legitimate, I think. Over here, reasons to be optimistic. So get both. If you want to listen to both, I think it's a good conversation. So the next Geno Time podcast will have that. And I'm doing this here right now. And it's brought to you by Michelob Ultra. At only 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's only worth it if you enjoy it. Stay tuned for the Ultra Player of the Week coming up later in the episode. So now let's get started here with the optimisms. Reasons to be optimistic about the Celtics as they head down the stretch with Tom Westerholm and Nicole Yang of the Geno Time podcast. All right, you two, we just did the whole negative side of this. So this is the spot. Locked On Celtics is the spot where negativity, leave it at the front door. I don't want to hear it. This is all positivity, rainbows and puppy dogs. Nothing is wrong. So we talked about, you know, the things that if there was anything concerning about this Celtics season, I thought it was a good conversation. And this whole companion, the two podcasts are supposed to be, as Tom has put it, the yin and yang of like if we look at it from this perspective, we're going to get down here. But let's look at some of these things from the positive perspective. And you know, we did have a good conversation about Jason Tatum and maybe some of the concerns about, you know, the finishing at the rim and facing shot blockers. But one thing that has become very clear is over the past couple of weeks, the Chicago game notwithstanding, that he has taken a step forward. Hopefully it's a permanent step forward. And I just want to get both of your takes on if that, like from a positive perspective, like if that's the Jason Tatum that we're going to see at full strength, where can this team go?
I mean, they're pretty good. Like when Jason Tatum is good, this team is good. And I think that, you know, that's been hammered home now for basically like a little bit more than a calendar year. Right. Cause he really started like exploding last season around like around when he was selected to the All-Star team. That seemed to be when he really kind of picked up steam, and then, you know, season got cut out by COVID and he was still good in the playoffs. But like, yeah, I mean, like I think this team is like everything that we said about them last year during the playoffs. Like after Gordon Hayward left, I felt like the conversation was basically, okay, this hurts the Celtics, no question about it. They did still make the Eastern Conference Finals last year, even without Hayward. So, you know, maybe they can get back to that point. Now, I would say that conversation, you know, doesn't totally take into account the improvements made to the rest of the Eastern Conference, but I do think the Celtics can get back to that good, if that makes sense. Like they can be the team that, you know, that they were last year, which is a very good team. You know, not like some kind of no questions asked contender, not a favorite to come out of the Eastern Conference, but like a very good basketball team who people are not going to want to play in the playoffs.
Well, and when Jason Tatum is playing well, it sort of allows everybody else to play a little bit more comfortably within their role too. There's no pressure put on other people to contribute beyond the role that's like cut out for them. But it's when Jason Tatum isn't playing well, sort of there's more pressure on everybody else to do more. And then whether they can actually do more is debatable. So I think Jason Tatum playing well obviously is good for the team, but it's also good for like the individual parts as well, if that makes sense.
Right. And that brings in Jaylen Brown to the mix. And we've seen, I've been asking forever for Jaylen Brown to be setting picks for Jason Tatum. And just let's see how that goes, because what are your options? If you're covering a pick and roll with Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, what do? Do you blitz? Do you drop? How do you react if Tatum is passing the way he's been passing and Jaylen Brown can learn, or I don't know, maybe he does already know the ins and outs of rolling and popping and short roll and all that stuff. Like, I just see that as a play that you cannot defend. And you would have to, if you wanted to defend it, you'd have to switch who's guarding Jaylen Brown. In anticipation of that play, in which case you just break the play and let Jaylen Brown attack that mismatch, or attack the mismatch that creates by having Jaylen's guy cover somebody else, you know? So I think if Tatum can be the best player in that series, in whichever series, that changes the calculus a lot for the Celtics. And it makes them impossibly, well, I shouldn't say impossible, but like it makes them incredibly hard to defend. Exponentially is the word I was looking for. Exponentially more difficult to defend because everybody gets better. Your spot up shooters become more dangerous because the defense is so concerned about Tatum's drives that they have to suck in a little bit more. And he's shown that he's actually getting a lot better finding those corner threes when he drives. Like, he's doing a real good job at that. So the Celtics, for all of their shortcomings, and when you watch Kemba Walker spotting up for threes, like that's one of the things that I wrote recently on Boston Sports Journal, that in Kemba's kind of like evolution as more of a complimentary guy to these, you know, the Jays, that he's spotting up in the corner more. And that's going to be a huge role for him. And forget that you're paying $30+ million for a guy to spot up in the corner. Like, this is your team right now. You're trying to win with this team right now. Tatum just increases the possibilities for everybody. And we haven't even mentioned running the pick and rolls with Robert Williams and what that can do.
Definitely. And I think, and the other thing that we haven't mentioned is how, you know, I mean, you've been asking Brad about this for a couple of days now. Like the ball movement is so different over this stretch, like that. And that isn't just Tatum driving and collapsing and getting people to suck in. It's the extra passes that everybody else is making to then maybe the ball moves around the perimeter. Tatum cycles back out and, you know, finds himself open again. Or maybe, you know, the defense sucked into Tatum and then he kicked it out to Grant or somebody in the corner. But then there's an extra pass that needs to be made and it goes to Jaylen, who's open. Like these things are all like I think that kind of is to Nicole's point, like these things all work together. Like when the Celtics are good, it all kind of comes together at the same time and it makes everyone better. Like that's just kind of simple basketball, but it's 100% been true for the Celtics this season. Is like that's been something that's been missing.
And so now with single bigs instead of double bigs and space to move and space to cut, this allows for them to do more offensively. And I've always said that their offense flows into their defense. Like if they're hitting shots, if they're getting shots, then they're going to go out there and they're going to play better defense because they want to get the ball back and start scoring again. So I think that the increase in Tatum's abilities, the step forward is huge. And just to, you know, tease people to go listen to the Geno Time version of this, I hope that he can continue doing this when there are shot blockers at the rim. And that's an extended conversation that we had on Geno Time. And so make sure you're getting the other side of that. But offensively, I like where the Celtics are. And Another thing that gives me reason to be positive is the evolution of Kemba Walker's game and finding new ways to use him and him finding ways to play off of Tatum and Brown and do it in a way that doesn't sacrifice his game a little bit.
All right, we're going to continue the conversation in just a minute, but first it's time to hand out the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. It's only worth it if you enjoy it. And at 2.6 carbs and 95 calories, it's very much worth it if you enjoy it. Grab yourself a Michelob Ultra. Grab a couple. Why not? It's worth it. 95 calories. You can grab a couple as you enjoy a Celtics game. We know joy creates success, and we got a lot of joy out of watching Jason Tatum this week. And he's going to get the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week for two reasons. Starting most recently, triple-double, his first career triple-double against the Chicago Bulls. Now, he did only score 14 points. He didn't shoot well, but 13 rebounds and 10 assists. Nice, you know, doing other stuff type of performance. Got to the line 8 times. That's good. And then against Golden State, where he just was a superstar in that game. Out-dueling Steph Curry, shooting 16 of 25 to score 44 points. He also had 10 rebounds in that game and was 7 of 8 from the line in that game. So that is enough to get the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Enjoyment isn't the end game. It is the whole game. And we know that watching Jason Tatum, especially over his most recent run, is giving us joy, happiness, and all of that that Michelob Ultra is known for. Are you happy because you win? Or do you win because you're happy? The Celtics were both for 6 games, and Jason Tatum was a huge part of it. So he gets the Michelob Ultra Player of the Week. Now, I am doing what I love when I record this podcast and cover the Boston Celtics and cover the NBA. And I got to tell you, it's very satisfying doing what I love to do. And I know that Brian at Crack Hot Sauce is doing what he loves to do. He is a Boston Celtics season ticket holder, a former Celtics employee, and now sitting in section 304 as a season ticket holder. And what he loves to do is make small batch craft hot sauces from local farms. The ingredients are locally sourced in Massachusetts. He's up there in Lowell, and he's been doing this since 2017. It's Crack Hot Sauce, C-R-A-I-C. And I've had it. It's great. I love putting hot sauce on stuff. I love a little kick on my food. I'll put it on my eggs, maybe a little bit on some pizza when you're feeling a little, you know, you get a little sauce in you. Put some hot sauce on your pizza too. I love hot sauce on stuff. But here's what makes Crack Hot Sauce so great. It's not just Tabasco and it gives you a little kick. He's got different flavors, so you can pair the hot sauce with what you're having to make sure you're getting the right flavor on top of that kick. I've tried it. I love it. I think it's great. Again, he's a Celtics fan, and he gets his ingredients from farms in Massachusetts. So you're really supporting multiple local businesses, and you're supporting a Celtics fan. He is offering all of you Celtics fans a 10% discount from the Crack Hot Sauce line, the complete collection, consisting of their 4 main sauces. They are 40 Shades of Green Chili, Brian Boru's Curry, Mill City Red, and the Golden Pumpkin, which is my favorite one. The Golden Pumpkin is awesome. And, you know, in the fall, save that one for the fall. You get a little heat and some of those pumpkin-type things that you get. Oh, my God. Visit cracksauce.com, C-R-A-I-C, sauce.com, like the Irish crack way, and use the code Celtics for your 10% discount code at checkout. Crack Sauce makes a wonderfully tasteful gift for that hot sauce lover in your life. Crack is an Irish word meaning good time, and I'm confident you will enjoy kicking everything up a notch with Crack Hot Sauce. Go to cracksauce.com. Use the code Celtics for a 10% discount at checkout.
Be sure to follow our social channels, LO Celtics
on Twitter. This year, the Locked On Podcast Network is partnering with the Draft Network to cover the NFL Draft live. Get insight and analysis from Locked On local experts and Draft Network's national experts. Subscribe to the Locked On NFL YouTube page and watch live 3-day coverage of the NFL Draft, April 29th through May 1st. Now let's get back to the conversation with Nicole Yang and Tom Westerholm of the Genotime podcast.
First of all, Kemba's getting all the way to the rim. He's finishing much, much better at the rim lately. And off of those, he is now doing the Steve Nash, you know, drive baseline, come all the way through, come all the way around. And the best part is when somebody does that, you got to watch for the person in that corner, the corner that he's driving to, cycling around and cutting to get that pass down the middle. So if he's going from the right side to the left side and Jaylen Brown's in that left corner, as soon as he goes under that rim, watch for Jaylen Brown to come up and around and cut behind, because Jaylen's guy is going to turn around instinctively and be like, what's Kemba doing? I got to defend this pass. You turn your back and that's the guy in the corner cuts. And that could be an easy dunk or pass out to the corner that Kemba just left because the guy from the wing is replacing down into that corner. All of that stuff flows. And so on top of the Jason Tatum side, it's encouraging that Kemba Walker is doing these things because it forces the cuts, it forces the passing, and it does make the Celtics offense a lot better. And again, the offense becoming a lot better makes the defense better. I hate that it does it like that because it shouldn't. It should be the other way around, but that's how the Celtics operate.
Has it always been like that with the Celtics? Like I'm trying to remember back now to other seasons with this team. Like, has it always been chicken and egg where it's clearly starts with the offense? I genuinely can't remember.
I feel like there's always with every team some element of you miss shots, you slump your shoulders,
yeah,
you can get run outs against you. But last year's team was so great at getting into passing lanes. Like
they were.
How often, you know, we see it a little more lately, but we saw it, I felt like, once or twice a game last year that Jason Tatum got into a passing lane and broke out for a dunk. We don't see that as much this year. They're not getting those kind of like plays in the on the weak side where they're getting into passing lanes quite as much. But again, sign of encouragement, the defense has been a lot better and they have been doing that a bit more. Like over the past couple of games, we've seen a few of those and we even saw it against Chicago where guys are getting into passing lanes. I think it's because Chicago's not that great and they telegraphed a bunch of those, but I think that energy this year comes from good offense more than it ever has. And it might just be a function of this season that they're so exhausted, but you know, Tom, you get a little extra juice when you make those shots. That shot falls, you get back. You're just a tiny bit bouncier. So you want to get that ball back.
I'm about a 50% better defender when I am making shots as opposed to when I'm not. If I'm not making shots, man, there's gonna be some ref blaming going on. There's gonna be all of that.
Oh yeah. So
the foul.
You sound like Jason Tatum.
I learned from the best. I just looked it up out of curiosity, and it's not like a huge difference. But the Celtics do last year they had 16.7 deflections per game, you know, as opposed to 15.1 this year. So deflections are down, and that's not, you know, a perfect indicator, but I feel like it's kind of to your point there, Corrales.
Mm-hmm. I would say so.
I think another reason for the team to be optimistic is just they haven't had Evan Fournier yet. And this stretch has all come without their trade acquisition. And I think he definitely should bring something to the offense. Obviously, you don't know how a COVID diagnosis is going to affect someone and he's still learning a new playbook and things like that. But I think there's no question that he's for sure a tally in the positive column, because if he's coming off the bench and they like to put Tatum with the bench units and teams often like to blitz Tatum, like that's a perfect pass. And then hopefully he can actually make a basket, unlike some of the other options like or whoever. I don't know. He was passing to before. So I feel like the addition of Fournier is like very intriguing for this team.
the other thing it does is your players like Shemmy, your players like, you know, Grant Williams, or the other guys who are on the floor, again, it just simplifies their role. Like, instead of having to be the guy who is attacking when somebody else is blitzed, it's like, okay, no, now the Celtics have their star, and then they have their scorer who attacks when the star is blitzed, and then they have the guys who are just kind of around the three-point line doing the thing that they're, like, super comfortable doing, which is just kind of spotting up. Like, it just, again, like... When this team is fully healthy and when Jason Tatum is good, everything just kind of comes together in ways that are quite intriguing. So, yeah.
Yeah. That no, having
which
that
would only admit on the Locked On Celtics positivity hour.
I will say, I see your point, John, when you're like, yeah, you guys say something positive and then you go, but, cause I was about to slander Shemmy and Grant and all of
that. I mean, look, I think that's what this Celtics season is, and to be fair, like there are shifts in perspective that kind of drive what direction you're going down, and as I've said to Tom on the podcast before, I don't think, like, first of all, my personality is I tend to be a more positive guy anyway. I skew optimist a little bit, not to say that Tom's a raging pessimist, but
nobody would ever say that.
No, but I also see the actual possibilities. Like, I don't say anything out of pure faith or fandom. Like, that's not where this is coming from at all. Like, if I have a take that says, you know, I believe in this, it's because I believe that this is possible. And I will be very clear. Possible versus probable versus definite, like, those are different variations and things that we should watch for, like, if this, then that. So, and this is where the Celtics are, because as I said on the Genotime version, there's a big drop off, and you put it well, Nicole, when you said the margin for error is very slim for this team, because if something happens to one of these guys, especially if something happens to Tatum or Brown, then the whole thing falls apart. They don't have enough talent to say, okay, when this guy has to step up, then we're fine. And if one guy goes down, then yeah, maybe you can move Evan Fournier in, you bump up the minutes, and maybe there's a role for one of these other guys. But there is a reason for but in a lot of these discussions.
Coming back to wrap up the conversation with Tom and Nicole, make sure you grab a Built Bar for the rest of the show. It's a great snack. It's a delicious protein bar, and it comes in a ton of different flavors, including some with nuts, some without nuts, because they are there for you if you've got allergies. They are delicious. They are low calorie. They are low carb, low sugar, high protein. It's great for a keto diet. And if you go to builtbar.com, you can catch all of their special offers right now, including coconut brownie chunk, which is back. It won the Built Bar Madness, and it's at 150 calories, 15 grams of protein, and 7 grams of sugar. Just amazing that this thing is actually good for you. So go to builtbar.com, check them out. If you don't like that one, they have a ton of other options. Fly through their menu there. Check out the ones that you think might be best for you. Or get one of the sampler boxes. Use the promo code LOCKED15. You'll get 15% off your next order. And then you can reuse the promo code as often as you want. So if you're not sure, get that sampler. Pick out the flavors you want. Stock up. Use the promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off every time you order at BuiltBar.com. BetOnline is the fastest and easiest way to bet on all of your sports action. We know that NBA is in full effect, but we've also got the NHL, baseball, sports around the world. It's even covering award shows, TV shows, and reality TV. They've got real-time updated odds and props on almost anything that you can imagine. So head on over to betonline.ag or use your mobile device to sign up today and get your 50% welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. That's on your first deposit. So whatever your first deposit is, $200, you'll get a $100 welcome bonus with the promo code LOCKEDON. BetOnline, has you covered for all the news, scores, and odds. It's the best way to place your bets. It's free to sign up. Make sure you're using that promo code LOCKEDON at BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Please gamble responsibly.
Make sure you're subscribed to Locked On Celtics wherever you get podcasts or follow us on Spotify.
NFL fans, the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 presented by Locked On and Odyssey is happening right now. It features analysis from NFL experts like Michael Irvin, Jason LaCanfora, and Brian Baldinger. Our local experts for every team will be making trades, picking the next stars of their team. So search the Ultimate Mock Draft 2021 on the new Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Odyssey is your audio home for all the sports podcasts, music, and news that matters to you. That's A-U-D-A-C-Y. Now, let's wrap up the conversation. All of the reasons to be optimistic about the Celtics with Tom Westerholm and Nicole Yang.
There is reason for up in the Celtics bench being led by Evan Fournier, because when we get to the playoffs, you go 8 or 9 deep at the most, 8 deep probably. So 5 of your starters, we know that those guys are there. And Tristan or Rob, like, okay, so that's 6. And then Evan Fournier is number 7. And then all you need is one other guy. And with all of those other guys that are on the floor, Grant Williams becomes much, much more effective in his role. And look, we saw the best and worst of Grant Williams against Chicago. That 4 minutes left, the pass from Tatum in the corner where he up fakes and drives and tries to spin, like, whoa, like Danny Ainge in the broadcast was like, pass it.
And then he tried to like correct it by being like, that was good defense by Grant Williams on the other end. And it was like, it was fine, but it was very much felt like Danny being like, but good defense though. Like,
nice recovery. But that play was just got in the Celtics down 3. And if you're not going to shoot that in the corner, okay, one dribble past your defender. Don't try to do too much. Give the ball up, move the ball. That's your job. Ball mover. Hit the open 3, then screen, rebound. That's it. So, and with that bench unit, considering that it's probably going to be 3 or 4 of those guys on the floor at the same time, Grant, with all of those other guys, knows I don't have to do a damn thing except when I'm wide open, shoot it. And then, hey, I'm okay with Grant shooting wide open 3s. Absolutely. I think he can hit those. So. Yep.
I would like to take a moment to appreciate Danny on the broadcast yesterday, because his reaction to that Grant play, like even through the TV screen, was like palpable. Like you could just tell. And then my second observation was, this man loves Romeo Langford so much.
Romy,
yes. Danny loves Romeo Langford. Like it was just abundantly clear.
No, he does. My only note from the broadcast that I tweeted out was that it got so quiet sometimes because Chicago would do something and no one would talk, because Danny Ainge is an active NBA executive and he can't say a damn thing about the other team or else
it
comes off as tampering. Like if he said, oh yeah, man, Vooch, man, I really like Vooch. Yeah. This guy's really tough or anything like that. Like you can't say that as an executive. And like Scal blowing up their spot, being like, I got a memo from Mike Zarin that when you talk about the refs, I can't say anything. Like it was like Danny, I think at the end when Danny was getting into the game and like into the comeback or that the attempted comeback, he was a little bit more kind of at least emotional about what the Celtics were doing. But for long stretches of the game, I was like, somebody say something, somebody help Scal out, because Scout's not a play-by-play guy, so somebody help him out. You know, so
yeah.
Anyway,
it was a weird vibe for sure.
Not a reason to be optimistic.
No, I have a reason to be optimistic. We get to watch Mike Gorman for the next 14 games.
There you go.
That's positive. Gorman.
Big plus. Yeah. Gorman's the best.
He's so good, man. Celtics fans are so spoiled.
Yes, they are. another reason to be optimistic, and I don't want to make this a cheering for injuries, but the injuries, they actually do happen. Like I'm not hoping for people to be hurt, but ultimately you have to take advantage of the situation that's in front of you. And it was reported as we were talking that James Harden had suffered a setback and is going to be out indefinitely with his hamstring issue. And so to quote Steve Nash, we're back to square one. He will be back when he's back. It might be the playoffs. It might be sooner. So all of this time without Harden, all of this time without Durant, Kyrie goes in and out of the lineup whenever he feels like it. I'm not saying that it's going to be a problem because the talent is still there. But if it's the playoffs and if it's a situation where, hey, maybe they have a second round matchup that they lose or something, like if there's anything to be positive about when it comes to the opponents, is other teams are starting to get this kind of like the injury bug, and it might possibly open up something for the Celtics. Like, you need luck in the playoffs. Like, the Toronto Raptors earned themselves a championship, but they got some luck because Klay Thompson and Kevin Durant got hurt and they took advantage of it. That's, and I'm certainly not taking away from their championship, because every NBA championship deals with some level of luck that helps them win a championship. You need that. And maybe the luck is turning for the Celtics.
Yeah. I mean, one of the things that we said was, look, like previously, you could talk about the Celtics, needing to kind of keep it together and stay in the playoff hunts in case people got hurt. But it was like you watched that Celtics team for the first, two thirds of the season, and you were like, well, but they're not going to take advantage of it. Like, they're not good. What are we talking about here? But now, like, to bring it back to positivity, genuinely though, you look at this team and you say like, oh, this is a team that, like, the way they're playing, they could potentially take advantage of those situations. Like, they're actually good enough to throw a couple haymakers if they have to. Like, they had their stars are playing like stars, and everything's kind of coming together in that way. So I think that's a good point. Like, you never know what's going to happen in the postseason. You never know who's going to go down. Obviously you hope that nobody does, and you hope right. that you get a real read on what happened this season, because you just kind of hope for people's sake generally that they don't get hurt. But I think that's true. The Celtics could take advantage of that if it happens now.
The Celtics play the Nets on Friday. That's part of their back-to-back.
Yep.
And that's a huge loss. Like, Harden was supposed to be back soon. And I don't know. Yeah. Like, if anything that helps the Celtics, a win on Friday, even if that's all it is, a win on Friday that might not have been a win before is huge, because the Celtics have been, they were alone in first, and now they're tied for fifth. And then if they lose again, or depending on who wins tonight, like, standings are really, really tight. So if you're looking for things to be positive about, look, everybody's dealing with craziness. Now it's the Nets' turn to be dealing with craziness. Take advantage of it while it's there. What else? Who else got positivity for me? Guys run out.
This is tough, man.
This is a tough exercise for us.
So. No, I got one. And this is a theme that I've been coming back to in my positivity on the Geno Time podcast. I was very down on Tristan Thompson, throughout mm-hmm. most of the start of the year. And he has been really good since he came back from COVID. He's done a lot of really positive things for the Celtics. I've been very impressed. And I think that whether the Celtics use him as the backup big to Robert Williams, or as the starting big to, kind of have another veteran presence in the starting lineup, I think that he's looking a lot more like a, player who was worth the full mid-level exception. So shout out to Tristan Thompson. He looks, he's been really good.
Just the whole way that the Celtics have sort of remedied the five situation, I feel like, has been good. Like, Robert Williams's rise has been impressive. I mean, look, we started the season off with the double big lineups of Daniel Tice and Tristan Thompson. And that was when Tristan Thompson also wasn't good. So it has definitely turned around, I feel like, at that position.
I think this is just a real sign of taking in the full information and really the necessity of being fair to players, which I think people need to admit that It's one of the worst things that fans, that's one of the things that fans are worst at. That being fair to players is not something that's in the fan playbook, because you're so caught up in the now. Why aren't you good now? We just gave you $9 million. Why aren't you good right away? You don't realize that he, first of all, came into camp with the hamstring injury, did not have a training camp. His debut was opening night, and he had had the entire year off because he played for the Cavs and they didn't get into the bubble. And so basically from March till December, he wasn't playing any basketball, and or nothing meaningful anyway. And then the Celtics play the double big lineups because Brad Stevens is like, well, I've got Tice, I got Rob, and I've got Tristan, and I need to play all three. How do I do that? Well, if I go double big, I can play Tice at the four, and no shock that Tice struggled at first too. And then that's one way to approach it. But then all of a sudden there's no spacing. And while I was an advocate of like, hey, let's just play the lineups and see how, if they can figure it out. It's very obvious that the ripple effects were very, very large. And so it's not like, maybe it's surprising how good he has been, but it's not surprising, or shouldn't be surprising if we're being fair, that a guy who was in that circumstance and asked to play with new teammates in a position where none of the teammates were comfortable with the situation. And like, of course he's better now after having played with him all this time and having the lineup snap into focus and the team being healthier in general, where, hey, shocker, he's also playing along with Kemba Walker and Marcus Smart and Jaylen Brown and Jason Tatum, who got like no minutes together before the All-Star break. Like, if we look at all of this stuff, it makes sense, but people don't want to be fair because they're like, oh, it's excuse.
I think that's a fair assessment. And also, when Rob starts, he gets to play with the bench unit, and I think he has more opportunities to just take advantage and really assert his size and sort of himself in the paint and things like that.
And right. So Rob starting, I assume that Rob's, but you know what? Also, I don't care if Robert Williams starts. Like, at this point, I don't know if how you guys feel about it. Like, if it's Tristan Thompson, we've seen enough of Tristan Thompson as a starter. We're like, okay, yeah, that's fine. Yep. And if it's Rob, then that's fine. Cause we've seen Rob as a starter against bad matchups. And look, I'm just to go on record again, my hope is that after an off season, another strengthening program for Rob and his hip, where the Celtics feel better about him playing more minutes, and the just a training camp and the ability to be more familiar with these teammates and all of that, that Rob is just solidified as a starter, the closer. I don't care who starts. I just want whoever's having the best matchup. That's who I want at the end of the game. And so it's 48 minutes, split them up however you want between those two guys. I'm fine with either of those guys being on the floor. I don't think either one of those guys is going to do like, it's not going to be like 30 and 18. It's going to be like 28 and 20 or 26 and 22. Like, it's not going to be too crazy one way or the other. So I don't give a crap who starts anymore. All I care about is the matchup and that guy being out there. But that's also like a super, super positive and probably the positive that we're going to end on. Like, the center position, I think, is good. And hopefully they stay healthy, because, you know, I don't want to see too much Luke Kornet. But even then, you know, small ball Grant is okay. Like, people need to understand, small ball Grant at the five, it's fine. So it's okay if the Celtics have to go to that every once in a while.
Agreed. Yeah, except on the I don't want to see too much Luke Kornet. Big Luke Kornet guy. I appreciate a big dude who can kind of shoot and you know, plays hard. Like, I appreciate a good Luke Kornet.
Sure. All right, we'll leave it at that. Appreciate a good Luke Kornet is a nice ending spot. Tom, Nicole.
Yo, look how positive we were. We were so positive.
It did get rough down the stretch. Tom and I truly had nothing else to say, but we were positive for the moments. Right.
I had one last thing, which is that I love a good Luke Kornet. So yeah. We were pretty positive, man.
You got enough positivity out to fill one parentheses O-N-E, one Locked On Celtics podcast. Thank you both.
Thanks for having us, man.
All right. So like I said at the top of the show, if you want the reasons to be concerned as the Celtics head down the stretch, head on over to the Genotime podcast. We talked for an hour. This is half of the show. The other half is on their feed. So that's the full conversation between me, Tom, and Nicole. I enjoyed it. They are awesome. Make sure you're following Genotime and check them out too. So, but of course, after you listen to the Locked On Celtics podcast, which is your only free daily Celtics podcast out there right now. It's the number one Boston Celtics podcast in the world. And so if you're new here, make sure you're subscribed so you can get daily Celtics content directly to your device. Regular listeners, you know what's up. Give that five-star rating, give that good written review, and share the podcast. I see some of you doing it on Twitter and elsewhere. Really do appreciate it. Tell your friends, tell everybody that they should be listening to the Locked On Celtics podcast here on the Locked On Podcast Network.
Thank you for making Locked On Celtics the number one Boston Celtics podcast on the planet.